the sanctuary services. The sanctuary services were divided into two parts, the daily and the yearly. The daily never stopped, even on the yearly. Before the Day of Atonement services were carried out, the daily morning service was carried out, and after the Day of Atonement services were complete, the daily evening service was carried out. The daily service is extremely important. Not only were there offerings provided, but there were also symbolical places on which symbols were provided. And this week's lesson looks at some of those symbols of the daily and the yearly sanctuary services. Part number one, the bread of the presence. In the court, there were three places of importance. The copper altar, in which there was blood, fire, sacrificial burning. The copper laver, in which there was cleansing, and the place of death. These three, fire, water, and blood, indicated how sin's penalty could be met. The priest then, by faith, went into the holy place. And in the holy place, he saw three items. To the left would be the seven-branch candlestick. Since its light, it would attract his eyes first, as there were no windows in the holy place. On the south side, to the left, was a seven-branch candlestick. Opposite it, on the north, to the right, was the table of showbread, with the goblets of wine standing on the floor. Between the two, but nearer the veil, further to the west, was the golden altar on which the golden censer burned with incense. In the court, the fire and the water and blood typified the provision of justification by faith. Sin was removed, guilt was removed, the sinner stood before the Lord as if he had never sinned. He had been, by faith, washed in the laver, the fountain for cleansing, and in the person of the priest, he could move into the holy place. And there his future development, his sanctification, was illustrated. He, as our part one indicates, would look at the bread. The bread gave strength. Bread and wine represent the words and the Spirit of Christ, provided sustenance for him. Every Sabbath, there was new bread, wine provided, indicating that the bread of life should be provided new every Sabbath. Jesus Christ recommended that his people pray to him for their daily bread. This is part of the daily service. The daily bread and the daily wine were there symbolically given. Jesus calls himself the bread of life. His word is the bread of life. His spirit that gave the word provides it to us in comprehensible ideas, enables us to eat and drink of Jesus Christ. He is not only the Alpha and the Omega, but he is the Word, and that Word brings ideas and food and sustenance into our minds. He who rejects Christ rejects his words. He does not receive his Word, and that Word will judge him. So in the sanctuary, Jesus Christ, as the bread and the wine of life, was provided. And daily, by faith, must be absorbed. So we must read the Word, we must study its Word, we must take its ideas and concepts into our mind with the prayer that the Holy Spirit will actualize them in our daily thinking, in our daily acting. Part number two, the light of the world. Just as the bread was there perpetually, so the light was to be there perpetually. Jesus is the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. The church is the light of the world. And we in the church are the light of the world only as Jesus is in us. And we are in Jesus. From the light, seven spirits, seven churches, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the Christian witness, all constitute the light. It's interesting to think about this light. Wicks were made of the white robes of the priests no longer used. Oil was a symbol of the Spirit. The spark from the altar was brought to the lamp morning and evening to rekindle it. It's the righteousness of Christ suffused with the Spirit, made incandescent by a spark from Calvary, that constitutes the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light. Not only is he the bread, but he is the light. Now, as we think about the force of this symbology, the light shows us the ground. It shows us the walk. It shows us the way. The bread gives us strength to walk in the way. So the light not only shows us where we should go, but the bread gives us the energy, the spiritual life and vitality to go. The light shines in darkness. It shines in our hearts. It's a light of the knowledge of God. It's reflected from the face of Jesus. It reveals. It also validates. When the light shone through the cloud and the rainbow, it validated the promise of God. When light as fire flashed on Elijah's altar, or on Jesus' head, or on the head of the Pentecostal believers, it indicates the divine presence that illuminates and accepts and validates. Light also led Israel through the wilderness. It lights every man that comes into the world. I like this statement. Every gem of thought, every flash of intellect is from the light of the world. Today we hear naive statements about plagiarism. If every gem of valuable thought, every flash of the intellect that is recorded in every book that has ever been written is from the light of the world, has not the light of the world in these last days the right to incorporate them into every message given? We think of plagiarism as something mercenary. Ellen White says that one of her commissions was to gather together every ray of light, take them from the setting of error, and put them in the setting of truth. The light lights every man. Let us gather every ray of light and acknowledge it as coming from the light of the world. Part number three. The altar of incense lay just beyond. It was an altar of perpetual intercession. The incense represented the merits of Christ, his qualities, which added to the prayers of the saints, for you recollect that incense was always added with the prayers of the saints. Look at Revelation 8, other places. Indicated that Jesus Christ would take our prayers and make them fragrant and eloquent before the throne of grace. The incense went up new every morning and every evening. Its fragrance filled the whole sanctuary. And Josephus tells us that sometimes spread around the camp, miles distance. Notice these three. The light shows the walk along which we must pass. The bread and the wine give us the sustenance, the food and drink, to give us strength to walk. The intercession provided the atmosphere that we had to breathe, for prayer is the breath of the soul. All these were new every day. They were part of the daily. They were the divine means through Jesus Christ by which the sinner, in the person of the priest, could gain sanctification as he moved toward the most holy place and glory. He must walk in the light. He must feast on the word. He must breathe as in prayer. Part number 6, mercy and justice. In the most holy place was a triple box, a golden box in a wooden box and a golden box, made to contain three items: the law, the transcript of the character of God, the resurrected rod, the emblem of the rod who was raised, and the pot of manna, a symbol of the Spirit. Above it was the mercy seat, all of gold, surmounted by two cherubim, also of gold. A triple box with a triple content, with a triple cover. If we are to sit with Christ upon his throne, it will be on the foundation of the law. Obeyed by the resurrection life, symbolized by the rod, and sustained by the hidden manna, an emblem of the Spirit. See Desire of Ages. The cherubim of glory represented him who originally overshrouded the mercy seat, the covering cherub, who inquires, "Are these to take my place in heaven?" God wished to indicate that the living beings, Revelation 4 and 5, would sing the new song, because redeemed from among men. The most holy place taught glorification, the guarantee that the redeemed will be with Christ upon his throne. Part number 5. The yearly service was the Day of Atonement. On that day, the high priest, with the blood of Christ symbolized, entered the most holy place, and with incense, intercession, and blood, "Father, my blood, my blood," was represented as representing all God's faithful ones who had confessed their sins. When he had been accepted, he took the blood and sprinkled the veil and the golden altar and the base of the copper altar, wherever during the yearly service the blood of the daily sacrifice had been sprinkled, indicating that confessed sins had been recorded. When he had finished this sprinkling, he laid his hands on the head of the devil's goat, Azazel, and the devil's goat was led out alive into the wilderness. All this portrayed what the high priest would do eventually, taking the guilt of confessed sin and laying them upon the head of Satan himself, where he was to be bound as an exhibit to the universe for 1,000 years, as being the one who had destroyed this planet. Thus the sanctuary was cleansed, and the guilt was focused upon the destroyer. This was the significance of the daily. Now, what is the focus of this lesson, part number 6? On the high priest. For as Aaron bore upon his breastplate, that is his heart, and upon his shoulders, the names of the tribes of Israel, so our high priest bears upon his heart and on his shoulders the names of every repentant, believing soul. The heart is the symbol of affection, the shoulder, the onyx stones, a symbol of strength. And our high priest bears upon his heart of love and upon his shoulder of strength the names of every repentant believing soul. As we think, therefore, of the services of the sanctuary, we see that the daily provided the means for justification and sanctification, and the yearly the guarantee of glorification.